Hey, it's great to have you. My name's Evan Courtney, one of the pastors here, and we're glad that you could join us today. As Pastor Samantha mentioned, this weekend we sent, or you sent, 48 students and leaders to a two-day conference to help our high school and middle schoolers learn more about who God is and to experience Him with thousands of others from around the state. And we actually have a picture of these guys. So they just had an incredible time seeking after God and seeing what He has for them. And also we challenged them to invite friends that have never been to church to go with them to this two-day retreat to experience who God is. And they took along six individuals that have never been to church before. And yeah, that is awesome. And so you guys actually paid for those individuals that have never been to church to go. You paid for their ticket, you paid for their hotel, you paid for all their food so they could have a great experience. So thank you guys for giving. And we actually had two individuals here, students that were honored at the conference for giving $1,000 in missions this past year. And so they were recognized and their dollars went towards an organization called Free International to help buy a rescue vehicle, which this organization uses to rescue those that are in modern-day slavery. So just an incredible honor for those students, Tobias Sanders and Maddie Bettinger, that were recognized at the conference. So incredible weekends for our students and our leaders. Thank you guys for your investment. I know myself, I've been to the conference probably 15 years, and I realize that it's a long 2 days. And so today, if you see our leaders or our students falling asleep during the message, I give you full permission. Like, you've heard 48 hours of messages, so you can take the next 25 minutes to sleep, but that's okay. We are continuing our series today. Pastor Travis has been talking the last couple weeks about it. It's called Everybody Always, and we've kind of been bridging off of the thought out of the book Everybody Always by Bob Goff. You can pick these up on Amazon. They're around $10. And so who Bob is he's a diplomat for Uganda, and also he's a lawyer that lives in California, and he's an author, and he's a speaker. And so we've been diving into his book, and if you've read his book and you get to the end of the book, what's really cool is on the last page of the book, it puts Bob's phone number. So we were in the office a couple weeks ago talking about the series, what are some stories we can share, what kind of scriptures and all that. And I'm like, hey, I'm going to call Bob. I'm like, what's the chance? I've like read his books before and I've tried to call before and I get voicemail. And so what I did was I'm just going to call him. So I just sat down at my desk and I just put on speakerphone and it rang. And I'm like, okay. And it rang, and I'm like, I know it's going to go to voicemail. About the fourth time, hey, this is Bob. And I'm frozen. I wasn't expecting him to pick it up. And so I'm like, hey, Bob. We're doing this series called Everybody Always. Just wanted to say thank you for writing the book. We're excited about it. And being true, Bob, as you've read his book or watched his videos, he immediately turns it to us. And he goes, well, you know what, Evan? You guys have books inside of you. And you guys are doing awesome things at the Fields Church. And so we had this really long conversation. You can see that lasted about 46 seconds long. I didn't want to be anybody creepy. I'm like, hey, Bob, thank you. I'll let you go. I didn't expect you to answer. So if you want to take a picture of that, you can call Bob later this afternoon and have a good conversation with him. So that's what we've been doing. And so kind of reading through this book and studying scripture as we've been the last couple of weeks reminded me of this story of kind of this opportunity I had several years ago in Honduras. And we were doing some missions work in Honduras, and the last day of the missions work of Honduras, we did sightseeing. And so Honduras is, it's the murder cap, like the highest murder rate of any country in the U.S. And so it's really hard to find like touristy places to go in Honduras, very dangerous. And so we were able to find this national park off of a peninsula. And so we took this tour, and it was this boat that we got on, and this boat would take us to go snorkeling, and we'd spend the day at this beach and kind of this jungle and see monkeys and this sort of thing. And so I remember we were heading towards there, and as we were, we passed by this this tunnel or this cave, and the gentleman that was our tour guide in broken English said, there's this cave. If you guys want, you can jump out here, swim through the cave, and I'll pick you up on the other side. And so at the time, I was in my 20s, and I was, you know, leading some teenagers on this trip, and I thought, okay, yep, let's go for it. So I take off my life jacket, very key point, take off my life jacket, jump out of the boat, throw my life jacket in. I'm like, all right, let's go for it. So we grew up, like I grew up with a swimming pool, so I can swim, but the difference, there's a difference between swimming in a swimming pool and swimming in the ocean. There's a thing called current. And so we're going, either, I don't know how many of us there was, 12, 15 of us swimming towards there, some, you know, and so we're getting towards the tunnel, and I've actually got a picture of the tunnel. So this is the tunnel, and you're swimming towards the tunnel, but when you get inside of the tunnel, what happens is they tell you when you get there is to make sure that you don't touch the sides or the bottom. It's only about 4 feet deep, but you can't touch the sides or the bottom because it's covered in barnacles, which means it'll give you paper cuts all over your hands and your feet. So don't touch the sides. And so as I'm swimming in there, also like the waves push one way, they push you in, and then a couple seconds later, on the other side of the cave, the waves are hitting that side and it pushes you out. So it's just this constant of you getting pushed this way and getting pushed this way. And like I'm getting tired of swimming for 5 seconds and then ending up 5 seconds later in the same spot that I was just at. And so I remember I'm treading and I'm tired and I'm like panicking, like I'm not going down this way. And so I look over and I see this 16-year-old girl that's wearing a life jacket. And the next thing I know, like I'm hanging on the back of her life jacket, you know. So if you don't know the end of the story, I survived swimming through the tunnel. I get into the boat, and after I get into the boat, I look back, and it was like this adrenaline rush, like, oh, wow, like, man, wasn't that awesome? And so the awesome part, the adrenaline rush, happens because I took a risk at doing something that wasn't safe, and I would never have had that experience. I'd never been able to tell the story today if I would have stayed in the boat and not done anything, and I would have just heard the stories of other people that had swam through there. Now, since then, I've been able to swim through there 3 or 4 times more based on the amount of trips that we go, and so what we want to talk about today is that we can't always play it safe. Like, we have to take risk. And I'm thinking about our own faith and our faith with Christ is that there's risks that are worth taking with our faith. And it is us getting outside and stepping outside of who we are and what we're wanting to do and what we're wanting to accomplish. Like, we've got to step outside of that to say, God, like, what do you have for us? And we don't play it safe. If we want to play it safe, then following Jesus isn't the place for you. Like, a lot of us may have thought, you know what? Yeah, I don't want to be too risky in my life, so I'm gonna follow after Jesus. I'm gonna be able to lay back, kick back, put my feet up, and just kind of be kind of coast. But that's not what following Jesus is. Following Jesus is taking risks that you never thought were possible. It's Him stretching you beyond doing things that you never thought you could do. That's what following Jesus is taking a risk and not playing it safe. Following Jesus is loving people that other people don't like. That's what it is. Is you going out and saying, there's people in this world that people don't like, and we're called not just to like them, but to love them. And there's nothing more riskier in the world than doing that. I've got a short video from Bob, how he talks about of reaching out to people that have failed, that are on the margins of society, that nobody else wants to spend time with, he's spending time with. Watch this video.
But I was thinking about the way that Jesus spent time with people, and he spent it together. He didn't do it in isolation. So he had an idea. We called this thing living room. We sent out a message on Twitter. We said, you know, we can fit about 30 or 40 people in our living room if they squeeze in tight. So next week at 10 a.m. on Thursday, we'll open it up. The first 40 people that sign up, you can come over to our living room and we'll just talk. We're not going to live in isolation anymore. Well, in the first 4 minutes on Thursday when it came, 800 people signed up. And we said to the first 40, well, come on over. What we did a short time later, I rented a building next to Disneyland. And we all met in this beautiful space, and we had these beautiful conversations about people who have failed, who'd messed up, but who got back up again. when we did this gathering next to Disneyland, instead of having like breakouts in different rooms, you know what I did? I bought tickets to Disneyland for everybody. It was awesome. We had people that were afraid of things meet at the Haunted Mansion. And I had a speaker speaking there. People that wanted to know about their future, they went to Tomorrowland. It was awesome. I was at Tom Sawyer Island. Somebody else was on Main Street that served the poor. I had like a rapper in the Magic Castle and somebody with Kid President in Toontown. There's something beautiful about going to beautiful places with people and having the right discussions at the right place. Remember that?
So in today's, as we look at the scripture today, what we're going to dive into is a story of Jesus about how he's irritated with religious people, how he's irritated with people that are kind of more caught up into following these rules of what's laid out and following their religious rules than they are about other people. And so he gets irritated with them. And what happens is in this story is that the religious leaders are continuing to question Jesus on his authority, if he's really God, if he's really the Son of God, and they're continuing to question him and continue to badger him, and no matter what he says or does, they just continue to go at him, where he's fed up with them, and he's irritated at them. So what Jesus does in pure Jesus fashion is, in their questions, he doesn't respond with the answer, but he responds with the story. And so today we're going to look at that story that he uses to respond to these religious leaders about them questioning Jesus and about just them so closely paying attention to their rules and them not paying attention to people. And in this story, what he does is make his point. And so this story, Matthew captures it in his book, and it's Matthew 21. And it says this, Jesus responds, but what do you think about this? And he starts this story. He goes, a man with two sons told the older boy, son, go out and work in the vineyard today. The son answered, no, I won't go. But later he changed his mind and he went anyway. Then the father told the other son, you go. And he said, yes, sir, I will go. But he didn't. Which of the two obeyed his father? They replied, the first. Then Jesus explained this, meaning, he goes, I tell you the truth, corrupt tax collectors and prostitutes will get into the kingdom of God before you do. For John the Baptist came and showed you the right way to live, but you didn't believe him, while tax collectors and prostitutes did. And even when you saw this happening, you refused to believe him and repent of your sins. And so here we have this story that Jesus is laying out these two different individuals, these two different responses, the two different sons. So the first son, the older son, was the son that said, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to obey and do what you say. And later his heart changed and he did obey. The second set is the younger one that said, yep, I'm going to follow. I'm going to do everything you said, and ends up not doing it. And so the first set, those that didn't obey, but then had a change of heart, Jesus here relates to and calls them out of their modern day and says the tax collectors and prostitutes were the one that said no, and then they had a change of heart. And so what he's doing in their context of their culture is calling out those that were on the edge of society, those that everybody looked at as, wow, these are the most immoral people in society, the tax collectors and the prostitutes. And Jesus called them out on the edges and said, you know what? These individuals weren't following, but now they are following. They were the ones on the edge of society. They were the ones that everybody looked at and thought that they had failed in life. So we could think like that in our own context of who, in your mind, are you thinking of that, man, these guys are completely immoral. They're failures. Like, they're not seeking after God. There's no way their hearts could be close to God. And that's who Jesus is talking about. These people that have blown it morally. Those that have failed. And Jesus is saying, those that have failed and have turned their hearts close to me are actually closer than these religious leaders. Ezekiel talks about it in Ezekiel 18. It says, but if wicked people turn away from all their sins and begin to obey my decrees and to do what is just and right, they will surely live and not die. So there's people in our life, people that we run into in Walmart, people at our kids' schools, other parents that we run into, or people that you're going to see at Thanksgiving that you don't get along with, that fall into this category of being on the edge of society that you're like, you know what? I mean, they've just failed morally. Like, they've just failed in life. Like, nobody wants to hang around them. They just creep you out. You're going to run into those type of people. But Jesus is saying, those are the type of people that are ready to hear from me. Like, those are the type of people that when they accept me, like, you've got it, like, they're all in. You've got to wrap your arms around them. And what happens is, in our society, we're hyper-focused on winning. And we're really focused on success, and that's who's on the magazine covers, and that's who's on the news channels. It's all these successful peoples. And what we have to first do is examine our own life before we can think about those that have failed morally or those that are failing in life. And that's what Jesus was saying in his story. He's like, whoa, don't push them off to the side. Look at your own self of how you've failed, and then you'll see them differently. So we've got to first examine and recognize that we've failed. Paul writes this in Romans 3:23. He says, "For everyone has sinned, everyone has failed, everyone has fallen short of God's glorious standard." Like, we're all in that picture. Like, there's none of us here today that has said, "Man, I'm perfect and I followed everything and I've done what he's told me." He's saying no one has. All of us have failed. All of us have fallen short of God's glory. So once we understand that, we can view other people different that we have cloned and we have said that they're on the outside, like they've fallen too far. Once we realize our own failure, I believe we can see other people differently. But here's the reality is most of our lives are combined, is a combination of winning and losing. If we win, it doesn't make us a winner. And if we lose, it doesn't make us a loser. Like, our lives are a combination of this. So I'm a sports guy and I love numbers. And so I think about some of the greatest sports athletes. So one of the greatest baseball players who's had the best batting average is Ty Cobb. And so Ty Cobb, when he's up to bat, when he batted, only one out of three times that he got up to bat, he got a hit. So he's failing two out of three times. Think about Michael Jordan, the greatest basketball player of all time. Missed more shots than he made. Wayne Gretzky, the hockey player, he would only make one out of four shots. So he's failing three out of four times. So our life is made up a combination of wins and losses. And just because we win doesn't make us a winner, and just because we lose doesn't make us a loser. It's a combination of that. And so what we have to realize is that a lot of the times, those that fail are actually closer to God because they have this need for God. And if we don't fail, a lot of times we have the kind of this, we're self-sufficient. And so we don't need God and we don't need to rely on God. And that's what Jesus was talking about to these religious leaders, is like, you think you're following all and doing all of these things right. And what happens is you're doing it out of who you are and your own strength, and you're being self-sufficient and you're not having to rely on me. But these that have failed, they're broken. They're busted. They're broke. They're relying on me. And when we fail, that's when we find God, and that's when we need to rely on God. That's when we're the most open. And so this is why Jesus is saying the tax collectors, the prostitutes, those that are, we would deem on the outside of society, are actually closer to Jesus than those that are religious. So what do we need to do is this. Instead of moving far away from those that have failed, move towards them. Not to be nice, but to be Jesus. So we need to look around us and try to figure out who around us is on the edges. Who do we need to bring in and say, you know what, I'm going to come close to you. I'm going to move next to you. I'm going to move towards you. Not to be nice, not to be a nice friend, but to be Jesus. And there's a difference, but to be Jesus. Go to them. It's risky. It's risky to get involved with people that nobody else likes. It's risky. I had this unique situation a couple years ago. when there was an individual that was serving here on the Dream Team and served us in some areas, and that I became kind of a little bit of a friend with, and we'd worked on some projects together, and he was actually had just recently pled guilty to some major charges that was going to put him away for prison for a while. And so he was attending the church in between the time that he had pled guilty and his sentencing hearing. And so he was attending church here, and we became friends. And so I didn't really understand this process. I've never been in court except for like an adoption. I've never been arrested. So I didn't really understand the proceedings. But one day I just get a text from him that says, "Hey, Evan, my sentencing hearing is tomorrow, and could you come be a character witness for me?" And so I didn't understand what that meant. I'm like, "What do you mean, sentencing hearing?" So he texted back. He's like, "Well, I pled guilty, and they're going to tell me how many years I'm going to spend in prison." I'm like, "You were just at church on Sunday." And so he was like, "Yeah, I was for charges a year ago, and I'm trying to sort all this out and doing everything the right way." And I'm like, "Okay, yep, I'll be there at the courthouse tomorrow." So I have no idea what to expect. Like, I've only been in for adoption, so I walk into the courtroom, and as I walk into the courtroom, on this side is all the police officers, the detectives, city officials, the prosecutor. They're here. The guy that is serving at our church is over here with his family. So I walk down this aisle, and I'm having to choose where I sit. And so I go over to my friend, and I sit with him. And as I look to the police officers and the city administrators, I'm in my own mind, I'm like, "I'm not picking sides." You know, as I go and sit down. And so what happens then is the judge comes in, and the judge looks to the city administrators and the police officers and the detectives and say, "Okay, you know, let's talk about this gentleman's character. It's to help me to understand how I should sentence them." And so for the next 45 minutes to an hour, the police officers, detectives, you know, kind of lay out, here's all of the things that they have done in the last 5 to 10 years that's against our society and how it's hurt our society, which they were all true things. And he even says, like, "I'm guilty, like, I've done those things." And I just sat there with my heart wrenched. It's just hearing somebody talk about, I was like, "Man, God, I do not want somebody to get up there and talk about all the bad things that I've done." And so 45 minutes, an hour later, and they're like, they were done. And so it was like, "Okay, like, hey, who do you have for your character witness?" And like, "We want Evan Courtney." I'm like, "Oh my gosh, what?" And so I just remember like getting up there and standing, and I remember them asking me certain questions, and at the same time, like, "I'm not against the police, like, I'm not against you guys." And I was just kind of, I was really more for him and speaking things to him and who he was, not necessarily making any change in the sentencing, but letting him know, like, this is who you are. And here's speaking life into him and saying, he's a child of God. He's redeemed by the Most High God, that he's forgiven, that you've got a destiny that God has laid out for you. He's got plans and purposes. And I just began to kind of speak who you are. So that wraps up, and then the judge gives a sentencing of, you know, 5 to 8 years in prison. They take immediately handcuffs and take him out, and I'm like, "Whoa, whoa, like, that's it, like, immediately, like, it was done," and I haven't seen him for the last several years. And so the correspondence that I've had is just every month for the last couple of years, we've been writing letters back and forth, and in the letters, all I'm doing is writing and saying, "This is who you are. Like, this is who God has created you to be. Here's what he's destined you to do." And I'm filling up pages of scripture and saying, "God, you're a son of the king. Use your opportunity that's around you to shine your light in the most darkest of places in America. Like, use your light. You've got God inside of you. His Holy Spirit's dwelled inside of you. You've got a destiny to be able to change other people's lives." So just begin to have this opportunity to just speak into him of who he is. Of we're on the edge of society that nobody else, everybody else cast away because of all the hurt they've done, which he says, "I've created this hurt. I'm the one. I own up to it." But just to be able to speak life into them and bring them in and to love people that other people don't like. And so we've got to tell people not what they want, but who they are. Not what they wanted, what they should be doing, like not giving them a step of here's what you need to do to fix this, but speaking into them of like who they are. Go to people that are failing and tell them who they are, not what they need to change. If you know somebody in debt, don't go up to them and tell them the 10 steps they need to do. Just begin to speak into them like who they are. You see somebody failing at their work, don't tell them how to correct it. Just begin to speak life into them of who they are. Don't be nice, be Jesus to them. Speak life into them. Love people that others don't love, and it's risky. And don't play it safe. And take your faith and say, you know what, I'm going to do something with it I never thought was possible. Because if you're willing to catch people on the bounce, which we talked about last week, to find those that creep you out and engage with them, people will see Jesus through you. Move towards people that have failed, not away from them. Typically, we avoid people that failed. Be risky, don't play it safe, and move towards them. I've got a quick story about how Bob talks about somebody encouraging and speaking life into somebody else.
One of the men that came out on this stage with me is a good friend of mine. His name is Lex. And Lex lost his sight in both eyes when he was 8 years old. But by the time he got to college, you know what he figured out? He could run like the wind. So you know what Lex did? He went out for the track team. Now that seems like a bad idea to me, but do you know what Lex has? He's got a friend. And his friend runs in front of him and calls his name. You know what, on our last day here on earth, you and I, we're gonna have room for about 8 people around our bed. 9 if they're thin. And I figured out who my 8 people are. And I've sent them all text messages. I said, you're one of the 8. They're like, what's that mean? I'm like, don't worry about it. But if you don't have 8 friends, go find 6. Do you know 4 fruit trees is just a bunch of fruit trees, but 5 fruit trees is an orchard? Who comes up with this stuff? Probably a lawyer like me who needs a tax break. Go find an orchard full of friends. And I'll tell you, beautiful things will start unfolding. You'll move off the recital stage and into community. You'll get real with each other. You'll understand that failure is what God uses to remind us of our tremendous need for Him. Well, Lex, turns out, could run pretty fast, but he could also jump pretty long. And he had to pick an event. And do you know the event he picked in the track and field? The long jump. Now, that seems like a really, really bad idea. You run down a 2.5-foot wide path for 110 feet, 6 inches. You jump off a board you can't see and throw your body towards a sand pit as far as you can. It seems impossible. Do you know what Lex has? He's got a friend. And his friend stands at the edge of the sand pit and calls his name. Lex, 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 Lex. And Lex just runs towards a voice he can trust. Well, Lex was evidently pretty good at the long jump. Do you know why? He went out for the United States Olympic team and he made it. Is that crazy? He literally went to Rio representing us. In the run-up to the Olympics, there's an event called the World Games. And Lex was there with his friend. His friend stood at the edge of the sand pit and started calling Lex's name. And Lex ran as fast as he could. He jumped huge. But because Lex is blind, he doesn't always run in a straight line. And he was crooked when he took off. And he missed the sand pit completely. And he crashed and burned on the concrete. Man, that's happened to you. That's happened to me. We jumped big for something that we wanted bad, and we crashed and burned. I would be tempted, if I was Lex, to bail on the whole thing. I'd just say, I'm out. I jumped huge. I hit hard. I'm out. But you know what Lex has? He's got a friend. And his friend got him a new uni because he was mooning everybody. And he walked him back 110 feet, 6 inches, squared up his shoulders to the sand pit, went over there and started calling his name again. Lex, 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 straight, straight, straight. Lex uncorks the biggest jump of his life, set the record, gold medal. You guys, I want us to jump further because we've fallen before, not to hold back, not to be afraid, not to play it safe, but to just jump big. And if we do that, if we're willing to jump big into the future that God has for us, notwithstanding the times that we've fallen in the past, if we're willing to catch people on the bounce, to find people that are creeping us out and engage them with love, do you know what? People will see Jesus. They'll look right through us.
So we need to find somebody who's failed, who's tried to jump at life, and they failed, and be their biggest cheerleader. Is to yell their name, is to give them that input, is to tell them who they are because of this. You will see Jesus more in your life the more we see Jesus in the lives of people that have failed. You want to see Jesus in your own life? Go to people that have failed. Go to people on the outside that nobody else cares about. Go to people that are isolated. Go to everybody always. It's what he's calling us to do. Because there's some people in this world that are creeping you out, but guess what? They might not know that they creep you out. You may creep people out and you don't know it. The other day I was leaving Starbucks in Mattoon, and then when I walked out and I pushed the door to leave, I had accidentally just caught, I had eye contact with a lady that was in a vehicle, and as I walked out, we made eye contact. You know what she did? She leaned over and locked the doors. I must have creeped her out. There's people out there that you creep out. Go to those that you feel like are creeping others out, and just go to them and say, you're not isolated. I'm in your corner. I'm going for it. I'm helping you. I'm here with you. Don't tell them what to do, what changes they need to make. Just remind them who they are. Get real with people and don't play it safe. So who are those around you this week that you need to make this connection with? This week, I want to challenge you to find those individuals that are on the outside. Find that individual at work that creeps everybody else out. They don't have any friends, and go up to them and just build a relationship with them. Don't play it safe. Find people in here today that you're like, this person always sits by themselves in this auditorium. Go up to them. Don't play it safe. Find that person at Thanksgiving that you're dreading on even seeing, and go try to build a relationship with them, not to correct them on their failures, but to tell them who they are. Could you imagine that each one of us did that this week, the difference that it would make at our workplace, the difference that it'd make here at our church, the difference that it would make in our community, if each one of us went out and found somebody and didn't tell them what they needed to do, but told them who they are. Now, I do understand that as probably some of you have came in today and you're like, Evan, I'm the one on the outside. That you feel like you are the one that has failed. And you're not quite sure what your next step is. And you feel like you failed God. And you might have. You might have said, you know what, God, I'm not going to follow after you. I'm going to go completely against you. And today you've recognized that, you know what, God, I need to follow you as my Savior. I need to just hand it over to you. I just need to accept the grace that you have for me, the forgiveness that you have for me. And today it's there and it's free. And he's saying, I just want you to come home. I just want you to put it all aside. I just want you to put the failures to the side. Because you're not too far from God. And today I'm going to pray. And if you want to pray also right where you are, just to accept that gift and say, God, I need to follow you. I want to have a real relationship with you. You can do that at your seats. I'm going to pray. Let's pray together. God, I come to you today just with a heart that wants to follow after you as I've tried to follow you, or I never have, and I've failed at it. And today I want a new life. Forgive me. Change me, come into me, and help me. Help me to follow after you. Help me to seek after you. Help me to understand who I am, how you've created me. Help me to follow after you going from this day forward. In your name, amen.